interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. As we count down the days of February, this is a Tuesday, February 26th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Two straight days. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, both inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Going to launch right into waterlogged baseball and a fairly large trap game in the making for LSU basketball. But I'll tell you why. I don't think it's going to come to fruition. Let's start with the baseball. Give you the news of the day. LSU, South Al, we're supposed to play at the Box tonight. That ain't going to happen. It's been postponed to April 3rd, 6 p.m., first pitch for that game. But you won't have to worry about that, like I said, until April the 3rd. The big news here, poor Eric Walker. Coming back from a missed season due to surgery and just can't get right, at least due to the schedule and the weather. He pitched in relief the opening weekend, as LSU swept through Military Appreciation Weekend at the Box last Wednesday, his start at Northwestern State wiped out due to weather. Tonight, same thing. And so just how might Palmieri change his rotation, his thinking, with LSU set to play Southern tomorrow night in Baton Rouge? We'll find out. Might not be a bad idea to just slide Eric Walker back into that spot. Let him get a normal start in with his normal regimen leading into a start. Ultimately, as good as Landon Marceau, Jaden Hill are, you'd like for Walker to be one of the guys in your weekend rotation. If that's going to be the case, he needs mound time, yes, but he needs mentally, I believe, to go in as a starter to begin getting back just that mentality that it takes. On the vermilion and white side of things, yeah, that baseball would have been wet tonight as well in Hammond, America, so they're not going to play. UL at Southeastern, also postponed, and tell me if this is a bit eerie, also moved back to April the 3rd, also with a first pitch at 6 p.m. that day. So no baseball tonight in South Louisiana, and while it was bad news for Eric Walker, on the LSU side, earlier today, Brock Batty was named the projected starter of this game in Hammond, as UL was set to take on the Lions of Southeastern. So now Batty is not going to get that opportunity. But there is a bit of a ray of sunshine, in my opinion. Late yesterday, about the time that our show was shutting up shop, Gunnar Leger was confirmed for his Friday start this weekend against Maryland at Teague Moore Field, Russo Park. That is good news. The diagnosis, according to Robe, it's kind of how you read it. Inflammation. I think it's just a case of not wanting to rush him back into production. I'll echo everything that former Cajun Jace Conrad told us yesterday on B2BS. I'd rather have Gunner in May going into hopeful June baseball than a fairly meaningless, innocuous start at Sam Houston State. And you never know how things go. If you interject a different starting pitcher, Austin Perrin ended up being that guy in the first of two games Saturday at Sam Houston State, but even his sterling effort was unraveled by a bullpen that couldn't hold a leak in the dam late. Could that have happened to Gunner? Yeah, maybe so. But there you have it. No LSU South Allen Baton Rouge tonight. No UL at Southeastern. We'll pick back up on baseball later in the program. But right now, set to launch into a little LSU Texas A&M conversation, and we got time for you. One thing I'll promise you, yesterday's bombshell, at least for today's show purposes, will remain yesterday's bombshell as it pertains to Will Wade. I'll holler at you closer to April 22nd about that. I don't intend to hold that rain cloud over you, show in, show out, day in, day out. There's no point in that for either of us, because after all, what happens between now and April 22nd can only be controlled between the lines. LSU with another opportunity tonight to take a step closer to the SEC regular season title. And I know in the modern era, that means less than it used to, just like the high school basketball game. Winning the district means less than it used to, practically for the same purpose. PowerPoints, NET ratings, whatever you want to call it, we now have advanced analytics. We have different ways of measuring who's good, how good they are. And so LSU, I think by just about every metric, is considered between the number 10 and 13, 14 team in the country. If the tournament started today, they would almost certainly be a 3 seed. Continue to win. And even though winning the SEC could only mean a banner as far as material goods in the PMAC, it might just give you that extra oomph, that cachet, to carry the Tigers toward a number 2 seed. All you're doing there, not only improving your seeding, you're making it more likely that you're going to face a group of 5 team, somebody that you almost certainly will overmatch in a 2-versus-15 situation. You find a way into that 4 or 5 line, hey, you never know. You might just get matched up with a 12 seed that comes from a Power 5 conference. It is possible. So those are some of the big time, long-term ramifications of these next 4 ball games, and then what happens in St. Louis for the SEC tourney. But we will carry the game right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 8 o'clock. Your tip-off, 7:30, the pregame show. Clint and I have to exit stage left at 6. It'll be Tiger Rag Radio from 6 until 7:30. As far as a brief preview of this game, I think we're putting lipstick on a pig a little bit with Texas A&M. I continue to hear the stat, albeit a true one, that the Aggies have won 4 of their last 5. And yes, they won at Arkansas, 87-80 over the weekend. Hey, that's no small feat. But let us not forget one thing. The Aggies have won 4 of their last 5, and you know what? That's good news for them. But that means before this little run that they were 1-8 in SEC play. So, yes, they're improving, but this is still a team doing its best to claw into the middle of the pack in the SEC. If LSU wants to prove it belongs at the top of the conference, you have to take care of this level of team. Maybe more importantly, take care of the PMAC. Only a couple of chances left to show what you're made of in front of the home fans. And the only 2 losses, as we know, that Will Wade and the Tigers have experienced in this SEC season have come at home in the PMAC. 12-2, incredibly impressive. Take it to the weekend. Take it to a matchup with Alabama at 13-2, and then see if you can conquer some of the Coleman Coliseum demons that have plagued this program in years past. Not as much lately, but playing in Tuscaloosa hasn't always been kind to LSU basketball. On the other side of this break, we'll talk a little bit about a trip to Tuscaloosa for LSU football, and we'll do a little compare and contrast with the hoop side. You're listening to Bumper Sports, only 2 hours today, so we're going to max it out with tremendous guests. Coming your way at 4:30, a scene setter from the house that Pete built, Cody Warsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports. His take on the Tennessee win, triumphant to be certain. And what do they have to do, with or without Trey Waters, to get over on the Aggies? And then from 5:05 until 5:30, you get a double dose of Shea Dixon. LSU recruiting, and then we flip the script, plus a new feature, Shea's Tweets of the Week. We are just getting started. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Getting around to more B2BS, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And do not forget, on our sister station, we will be carrying some local high school basketball tonight. My good friend Danny Jones, he'll be on the call. Get a little color work as well from STM girls basketball coach Steven Stroney, and they'll have the STM boys playing host to Thomas Jefferson. Pre-game show there, 5:45 tip-off at 6. It'll be on the Rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 Oak Grove, Lake Charles. All right, enough of that for now. I've given you your LSU basketball preview for tonight. And while it's important, I think everybody's eyes are on a greater prize as it pertains to March and maybe, just maybe, early April. And it got me to thinking, dangerous, I know, but it gives me a big picture question, and now I'm going to pose it to you.
Exciting and new.
We'll see if YP, you people out there in listener land, can keep up with social media. They're enjoying this one. Here's your sink or swim question of the day. Which event would make you happier? Is it one, LSU beating Alabama in football, or is it two, LSU basketball crashing the Final Four? Which would make you happier? 706-0111. We've gone open-ended with the question like this, but I'm putting the metaphorical gun to your head with these two options and these two alone. So naturally, I'm going to ask the biggest Cajuns fan here in the 237 Roof Studios to lead us off. Which way are you going?
I think it's got to be LSU beats Alabama. Which event would make me the most happy? Because I feel like, yes, both these things haven't happened in a while, but I feel like one leads to the other when it comes to LSU. They could very well get into the Final Four of college football if they wind up getting that win over Alabama, because that means you're probably going to wind up punching your ticket to Atlanta. I think this is just, it's a stepping stone towards bigger and better things for LSU football. While LSU basketball making the Final Four, to me, it's going to be a great moment for Will Wade and everything. But to me, it's all about sustaining that and be able to go to it year in and year out if you want to sustain kind of the fan base's interest in it.
Sustained runs to the Final Four, which literally nobody aside from Duke or maybe sort of Villanova does these days, or UNC.
Every couple of years, if you can make it to the Final Four.
Do you know how many programs make it to the Final Four every couple of years?
Not too many, man.
Literally like three or four.
But if you make like a decent run in the NCAA tournament, okay, it looks
now,
really good.
Now that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Okay, let me
Sweet 16 as a regular sound barrier to be broken would be.
That would be fantastic.
Kidding me? With the trajectory that this program has had, I have trotted this out time and again, and I believe it is still true. LSU basketball, since 92-93, has not had consecutive winning seasons in SEC play. You know what? I got to run that back. They might have done it 05-06. I'll look into it. But you get my general point. Sustained success in the conference has been tough enough for LSU basketball, much less regular runs in the NCAA tournament, which is why I think I'll disagree with you here. If I understood your answer, it sounds like you were going LSU football beating Alabama. Don't get me wrong. I do catch your drift. I do get the fact that if LSU beats Alabama, pretty good chance that we're talking about Ed Orgeron and the Tigers going to Atlanta. And from there, as we know, all things are possible. But I'm going with LSU basketball making the Final Four. I get it. I live in a football state, and a lot of times baseball is secondary. I get that too. Third in line, many times, is basketball. But I will tell you that one of the top three or four sporting events, moments, experiences in my lifetime, because, again, I was lucky enough to be 60 miles away in college, LSU in Atlanta beating Duke was just bonkers. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And again, some of my favorite sporting event moments do not include LSU, so I'm not trying to spit Homer radio at you. I wasn't getting paid for a living at that point to talk LSU, to cover LSU. I just was a kid from Baton Rouge that happened to be in Athens and said, you know what? I can get tickets. I'm going. And then to go back a couple nights later, LSU beats Texas in overtime. Big Baby is wearing the Mardi Gras boa, doing a bit of a second line through, I think it was the Phillips Arena then, in Atlanta. It was incredible. It was nothing short of remarkable. And so I will tell you, the feeling that I think this area gets once every 25 years, that LSU can accomplish that, I think it's second to none. I really believe that. Is it because of the rarity of the experience in the event? Might be part of it. It might be. Because I know that when LSU, when UL, make it to Omaha, I have heard that is just Katie barred the door, no holds barred type of fun. Haven't been to Omaha for one of those experiences. Shame on me. I'm probably the only one left in South Louisiana that could say that. And Clint's giving me a little correction here. Okay, it was, yeah, I was okay, I was right. As I backtracked, I was right. 2015 and 2016, LSU had winning records in basketball. That's the only time since 92-93. So sustained success, you got to define that, brother. But I'm going to tell you that I think LSU basketball making the Final Four would be a more gratifying experience. You're going to leave me hanging here? I feel like I went for the high five and there's no palm elsewhere. 706-0111. What is it for you? And here's the thing. Because of the drought since January 9, 2012, I almost could predict. In fact, I told Clint before we brought this one out the barn, I almost kind of knew what it was going to be. Let's go so far to Facebook. Jamie says Final Four. Harold says LSU beating Bama. By the way, he used all caps, which I'm going to interpret as social media yelling. Larry says beating Bama. And that so far is just the Facebook side of things. We'll get to Twitter momentarily. But right now, we're heading out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Andrew, which of the two would make you happier and why?
Well, the question is, you got to put it, Ben, is this is, I think, pretty much a slam dunk in one direction for the vast majority of your listeners, and that's beating Bama, because it's more than just because they've dominated and everything else. It's the history with Saban. It's the history of the two universities. That by far gives me better joy. However, I'll asterisk your question this way.
All right.
If you change that from the Final Four to if LSU wins the Natty in basketball, now I think your question's a little bit more balanced and a lot more people might weigh in on that way, because being a huge basketball fan and that being my first love growing up, that would be unbelievable. That would easily rank right up there with beating Bama, especially beating Bama in their place. But the Final Four,
all right, well, then I tell you what, to hell with the asterisk. Let's just go ahead and take a pencil and put it through Final Four, and let's put Natty Ship. So if it is LSU wins the ship in basketball, that beats all for you.
If you want to change it to the ship, then it would be close. Hey, baby, hang on. It would be close.
Well, hold on. Like, what does your kid think? 50. Don't hog the mic. What do they think?
Oh, she's a little young, but no. She'll be trained, though. Don't worry.
I love that. Andrew, thank you for the call. I love it. I'll take a rewrite anytime. You kidding me? These questions come from the brains of me and Clint. Yes, we could use help. There's no question about that. Andrew calls in. He says if it's Natty Ship in basketball, then he buys in there. His little girl basically, if I were to go toddler speak there, which I could kind of do, I think that was basically her version of Lee Corso. Not so fast, Dad. I guess she doesn't call Dad Andrew. I was going to say, not so fast, Andrew. I wonder if she would go with LSU beating Bama. So far, the overwhelming majority of Twitter is going in that direction. 79% of our respondents, it's LSU football beating Bama. 21%, it's LSU hoops making the Final Four. I don't know. Andrew put an interesting thought into my mind, because LSU winning the national championship in basketball has basically always felt like an impossible dream for me. Rudy Macklin doesn't get dinged up in 81. Maybe it's a different story. 86 was a miracle run. That was an 11 seed. And if you listen to Ricky Blanton on this show yesterday, I think he informed you of as much. If memory serves, Ricky said, look, we made it to the Final Four in 86, and we were like a 26-win team. He was using that to build a case that this year's LSU team, already at 22 wins, if they make a run to the Final Four, there's no way that they're shy of 29-30 wins. No way. And so, yeah, they're on a track to be one of the best to ever do it at the school. But, boy, a national championship has always felt just a little bit out of reach. Just like after that miracle weekend, at least the way it felt to me, LSU beats Duke. LSU beats Texas, March 06. They were playing the Final Four in Indy. I had half a mind to basically steal from everybody that was living in my four-person apartment and say, hey, I'm just taking this money and I'm going to Indy. I'll pay you guys back next couple of years that we're in college. I thought about it. Couldn't do it to them, and I'm glad I didn't. LSU got absolutely smoked by UCLA. And so that Final Four round has always been the trip up. 81. Of course, then they made LSU go back and play a third-place game. That's old school right there. Final Four, third-place game. Losing two games in the Final Four? Thank you, NCAA. But yeah, 81, 86, 06, that's always been the trip-up point. Andrew's saying, what if they broke through? What if they won it all? Boy, I think that would have to rank above beating Alabama. And you know what? The other thing that's got to be mentioned with this question, I think it's very indicative of how you feel right now with LSU's current drought against Alabama in football. Because as we head to a break, I'll give you about your semi-annual reminder of what our Friday guest in the fall says on this program. Every time Justin Vincent comes on and I ask what comes to mind for him, when I mentioned the Alabama game, well, he said, Ben, you got to remember, when I was in school, it was the annual dub. Enough said. So again, it's always going to be time era, time period sensitive. Dynamite call from Andrew and his daughter there. That's the way to get it started. Right now, though, we got to break down this segment. We're coming back in, bringing Cody Worsham of LSU Sports with us. Just how loud was the PMAC on Saturday? Where does that rank in his home pantheon games for LSU basketball? And what does LSU have to do with, and then maybe more importantly, without Trey Waters if it comes to that tonight? You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Looking back and then looking forward, let's do both when it comes to LSU basketball with our next guest. Welcome back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Out to Baton Rouge, waiting aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, the digital media reporter for LSU Sports, Cody Worsham. How are you, Cody?
What's up, Ben? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm just wondering about your hearing or anybody else's who was in the PMAC on Saturday. Give me some of the details from somebody who covered it live. How loud was it compared to what you've become accustomed to in that building? And just how good of a game was it compared to any that you've covered?
Yeah, Ben, I try not to be a prisoner of the moment. I try to look back and try to compare the most recent game and crazy result to past ones. But this one, you know, even when I do that, this one's right up there at the top. The crowd was about as loud as I've heard the PMAC from start to finish. They got there early. It felt like a basketball crowd. A lot of times LSU's had big crowds and it's been loud. And it's been crazy, but it's, you know, been a late arriving crowd, or maybe they're a little bit quiet at the beginning and they eased into it later in the game. This crowd was rowdy from the start. There were a few students that had possibly partaken of some drinks before, which was impressive considering it was an 11 a.m. start. They were fired up. And then the game itself, obviously, knocking off a top five team at home without your, arguably your best player in Tremont Waters, the way that Skyler Mays and Javonte Smart stepped up, played with fire, played with passion. It was one of those games that I will never forget for sure. So, you know, for me right now, it definitely ranks at the top, both in terms of how loud the crowd was and just how good the game was.
The spirit was definitely willing, and I'm willing to guarantee that the spirits were flowing. All right, Cody, let's talk about Javonte Smart. And not just the performance, but how replicable is that for him if, for example, Tremont Waters isn't available tonight? I know that once you go through the lineup the first time, everybody has a better scouting report on you. If Smart's got to be the lead dog again, can he do that again, or does he have to tweak his game somewhere?
I think he can, Ben. I mean, the 29 points, you know, maybe not that, you know, that high of a scoring output, but what he did was he got in the paint against a team that doesn't allow teams to get into the paint. Tennessee is one of the best in the country at defending at the rim, at keeping people away from the rim, and he was able to get there pretty much at will, especially late in the game, just with his size, his athleticism, his craftiness with the ball. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to go out and score 30 every time Tremont Waters doesn't play, but it wasn't like he was super efficient. He was 9-22 from the field. He wasn't super efficient from three, but he made his shots at the rim, and he got to the free throw line. And so that kind of stuff is very replicable. I mean, that's what he did in high school. He made a living off that in high school, and then when he was knocking down threes, he was unstoppable. So, you know, I don't know if every game is going to be like that for him when Tremont doesn't play. But I think all of that, his particular skill set that he had on display against Tennessee, was something that you can build upon. It wasn't fluky. It wasn't a guy that got hot. It was just a guy that was dominating and competing. And that's the biggest thing that stands out with me for Javonte. You know, after the Arkansas game, when LSU lost at home, but he played so well to help get them back in, and I called my parents and I said, look, you guys got to get to the PMAC and just watch Javonte Smart compete. You know, you don't have to pay attention to the rest of the game. Just go watch that kid play basketball and get the crowd engaged and lead his team. For a freshman, it's unbelievable. If he was a senior, it'd be unbelievable. But for a freshman to be doing what he's doing is incredible. And I think all of that's sustainable and something that he can do night in and night out.
Talking LSU Hoops with Cody Worsham. You can read his work, lsusports.net. And I highly encourage, although I think many of you already have found this secret out, that the Boot Up podcast be part of your regular routine. In fact, did I see correctly on Twitter that you are now trending and this is one of the most listened to college basketball podcasts in the land?
Yeah, you know, those rankings and podcast rankings are funny because they fluctuate pretty heavily. So after LSU beat Kentucky, we were up to number two in the country. Wow. in all of college sports. Lately, it's dipped a little bit. After the Tennessee game, I think we got back in the top 10. So it goes up and down. If I were really smart about the rankings, I'd probably put out an episode every day. But I got other stuff to do, so we'll take them whenever we got episodes coming out.
Cody, as you know, man, I do radio for a living, and I have a mantra. I do not allow myself to get down about bad ratings, but every time they're good, well, yeah, I did that, and we should tell people about that. So we'll tell people that you're number two, and
that's
just our story, right? That's what we're going to do.
That's exactly right.
All right, let's talk a little more about LSU. Again, we're hypothesizing, but if they're without Waters tonight, aside from Smart, who else does that affect, and how will they have to maybe carry the load without him?
Yeah, I mean, it changes what Skyler Mays has to do. Ben, you saw him as much as I did in high school when he was a predominant point guard, a guy that had the ball in his hands all the time. This year and the last couple of years, really, with Will Wade, he's been much more of a pure two guard. He doesn't dribble a lot. When he does, he's attacking the rim. He hasn't been a primary ball handler a whole lot, but he had to do that some against Tennessee, and he did it well. So I think his role could continue to change. I mean, it was like riding a bike for him on Saturday. He just eased right back into it and looked like the old Skyler Mays. I called him Red Storm Skyler Mays because that's the AAU team he used to play on. So it'll change his role. And then, you know, if Tremont's out again, I think Marshall Graves is another guy that probably going to get some playing time for LSU. And credit to him. I mean, he stepped up on Saturday, came in, played 7 minutes, he was plus three. He hit a big three, played well defensively. He's a guy that if Tremont's out, you've got to have another guard to play with Javonte and Skyler and you know, Marlon Taylor playing the three. You got to have another guard come in and spell those two guys. And Marshall is a guy that can buy you some minutes. So I think those two guys, definitely a couple of U-High guys that will have to step up if Tremont's out. But other than that, I think everyone else's role stays pretty much the same. The bigs, you know, have to do what they do. Maybe Darius Davis plays some more three. Which he's been pretty good at this year. But, you know, I think that's the biggest change is Skyler being on the ball more and Marshall Graves coming in and giving you a shot in the arm off the bench.
Cody, I'm so glad that you brought up Marshall Graves because you had, for me, what was a tremendous reminder of a tweet when it comes to Graves, the spot that he occupies on this team quite literally in terms of being a scholarship player this year. And I'll let you tie that into U-High again for our listeners. But this, for me, was powerful. It was something that, honestly, I'd forgotten.
Yeah, so it took me about 24 hours to realize it, too. But you know, I was watching the film the day after the game and enjoying Marshall Graves hitting a three. You know, the guy that is a former walk-on myself that never got in a game. I always cherish when a walk-on can, or a former walk-on in this case, can get in and make a play. And then I remembered, yeah, he's a former walk-on, which means he's got a scholarship, which means if, you know, the followers, the listeners who are close followers of LSU basketball might remember this, but he earned that scholarship this year, and it's actually Wade Sims' vacated scholarship. Those two guys were high school teammates at U High. They won a state championship together their senior year, and Marshall and Wade were obviously close, and so Marshall earned that scholarship this year. And I just thought it was cool that, you know, LSU won the game by 2 points. Marshall Graves, playing in Wade Sims' scholarship, hit a three-pointer, and that was the difference in the game when you look at the final score. So there's always reminders of Wade Sims' presence with this team. I mean, if you talk to some of the players and coaches, they've all got stories about kind of, you know, special moments, realizations, you know, little things happening that remind them of Wade. They do 44 sets of an exercise every time they're lifting weights to close out the weightlifting session. They call it their Sim set. Obviously, they have the patches, and his locker is untouched. It's just good to remember that Wade's still around. He's still a part of the team. And in this case, with Marshall hitting that three, he's still making an impact.
Finishing up with Cody Warsham on 103.7 The Game. And I'll get you out of here on this. The last time LSU played A&M on the road at College Station, the score was 72-57. If it's closer this time, what's your guess as to why that might be? In other words, what are the Aggies bringing to the table, winners four out of their last five, that could make this one a closer affair?
Well, I think the biggest difference would be Savion Flagg, who's playing so well for them right now. He's a guy that LSU recruited. I think Johnny Jones and his staff recruited Flagg when they were in their final year. But he visited LSU. He's a guy that is really talented for A&M, but wasn't expecting, I don't think, to play this kind of role early in his career, and so kind of struggled a little bit early this season, but he's playing well lately. He's a big wing. He can play the three. He can play the four. He can help them go big. He can help them go small, and he's kind of a matchup problem. If you kind of think back to some guys that have given LSU trouble, I mean, just as recently as Admiral Schofield, it's kind of those 3-4 hybrids that can play small ball four or be a big three. So I think that's going to mean Darius Days is going to have to step up and play like he did against Tennessee. I think Marlon Taylor is going to have to play well. But if anything keeps this game close, it'll be that. It'll be Flagg playing well and then not having – I don't know if Tremont's available tonight or not. But if he's not available, he obviously was huge against Texas A&M, went off for, 30-plus points. So if he's not available, then that can be a leveling factor that LSU's going to have to deal with.
Cody, as always, thanks for joining us, especially for hopping in on a game day. We're going to help float that podcast, the Boot Up Podcast, back to number two, and damn it, it's staying there this time.
Hey, let's get to number one. Let's live big here and dream big here.
You are hanging out with Will Wade a lot. Okay, we'll get it to number one. Thank you, Cody.
All right, man. Thanks,
man. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. See, all right, Cody is living in the same headspace as Andrew, who called us earlier. Stop telling me about the Final Four, Ben. Natty ship. Don't tell me about number two, Ben. Number one.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not live in that mentality? I mean, after all, we are Acadiana's number one sports station. We're not marking ourselves as Acadiana's number two sports station. You want to be the top dog, right?
You asking me that question?
Yeah.
Let's hit a break. We'll be right back in. We'll take your phone call. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Numero uno only. I feel like Ricky Bobby. We're coming back on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Does number two work for?
He doesn't work here. Not for Acadiana Sports Station. No number two. That's what we just learned, apparently, from our good friend Cody Warsham. I love that. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D, and you're making that weird face at me. Is it because within Austin Powers, that's actually a scene where somebody's trying to take a dookie?
Yeah, basically. Okay. It's still funny to me.
It still relates.
Yeah, it works.
I told Cody he needs to strive to be number two and stay there.
No, number one, brother.
Number one.
You gotta get to number one, man.
I don't know who number two works for, but he ain't employed here.
Nope.
I love that. All right, we got time for more. Hopefully not on the Austin Powers front, but on the LSU basketball front. We could talk some LSU or Cajuns baseball as well. Both postponed from games they had scheduled tonight. When you're ready, 706-0111. You can also go in on our Sink or Swim question of the day. This one's getting a lot of run on Facebook right now. Which event would make you happier? LSU football beating Alabama has not happened since November of 2011. Yes, yes, you all know. Or is it LSU basketball making the Final Four? That's the way we originally put it. But our rewrite from B2BS Citizen Soldier Andrew is LSU basketball winning the national championship. If that changes the complexion for you, fine. Just let us know. In fact, now we're going to march on out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Ben. Yourself?
Fantastic.
Great. I know this is kind of a cop-out, but on your sink or swim, I'm going to say a tie. And my theory here is if LSU wins a basketball championship and LSU beats Bama in football this year, we're going to win a national championship in that too.
Well, I'm not going to tell you it's a complete cop-out. I will tell you that you're sitting on the fence. But Clint basically said something similar. He said, if LSU beats Bama, then they might make the Final Four of football, which, boy, that would be a big deal, the way that the last seven-plus seasons have gone.
Now, I don't think we're not only going to make the Final Four, we're going to win it. If we beat Bama, we win in the whole thing.
Now,
that's a fact.
Write that down
for me, Ben.
You say that, man. You say that, but, oh, I hate to do this, T, because people are just going to come and just throw tomatoes at me, but I lived through an experience where LSU did beat Alabama in their place and still didn't win the national championship. I seem to recall that I lived through covering both of those games.
I feel you. I understand.
But if it happens again, I'm with you. We're putting it in pen and we're not erasing it.
You got it. Hey, Ben, love your show. Y'all keep it up, bro.
T, you're the best. See, now I feel like the, frankly, I feel like the number two for bringing that up. But it's just, it's a fact. LSU has beaten Alabama.
Yeah.
And the Tide have still won the national championship. In fact, Alabama has not played in the SEC title game twice this decade and won the national championship. Once over a team that resides in the same city where I grew up and I covered them for many years. The other against my alma mater. So,
yeah.
Yes, I recall those events.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest thing is, if we're talking about LSU getting to the Final Four of college football, where it's all about if Alabama's in there. And if they just have that one loss, you know they're getting in, right?
If LSU beats Bama and that's the Tide's only loss of the season, then yes, they will get in.
Yeah.
And it's not just because of the cachet. It's because they'll probably have started the regular season at number one, or maybe.
I'm not saying it.
Numero dos.
There we go.
There you go, behind Clemson. And
yeah.
That's going to buoy them in the rankings because LSU, Alabama play the first Saturday in November.
Yeah.
If memory serves, I think that the first batch of college football rankings comes out maybe the week before that.
Yeah, I think it was the week before.
Right. So if they're one or dose,
yeah,
then yes. If they lose only once, they're not going to slip all that far. And then whoever loses between LSU and probably Georgia, although Florida's on the come up,
yeah,
then yeah. Bama would almost certainly get back in. And isn't that just comforting to know? As we already start to dive into the annual snowball that turns into an avalanche, LSU-Bama in November. Now brought to you by B2BS on February the 26th. So, you know, have a nice next 6.5-7 months, why don't you? But I think that's why a lot of people are going with LSU-Bama on the football side. And if you look at Facebook, CD, I'll let you give the complete update, but it is it's starting to become pretty slanted in that direction, although there's at least one nice pessimistic answer of, well, one of those isn't possible, so I'll take the other, right?
Yeah, Theo Fisher just with the golden response there saying basically he'd love to see a Final Four, but beating Bama is number one. And Final Four, Chris saying that, that one's really good too. Final Four.
You did something a while ago that you cautioned me from doing earlier.
Yeah.
You just tagged a last name.
Yeah. I gotta bring
this to the program. Yeah. It's too funny. So I went with the full name on Facebook of one of our responses maybe like a week or two ago. And then Clint got a call maybe 3 or 4 milliseconds after I said that.
No, it was well after.
No more than 3 or 4 seconds, okay? It was instantaneous that Clint got a call saying, "Hey, man, I'm at work right now. Keep a brother's full name off the radio." Which, exactly. Hey, respect.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get you narked on here. It's not what we're about. We don't do that here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on. I'm not going to tell on people like, who's your boy when the steroid era was going on?
Jose Canseco.
Not going to be Canseco out there. Not going to be Rafi Palmeiro wagging the finger in your face in front of your boss. This guy's listening to local sports talk.
He's not commenting the
number two
on Facebook.
Stuff, the number one stuff. And he's commenting on Facebook. He's not being a productive employee. Yeah. Boo this man. Fire this man. So go ahead and keep the last name.
Yeah. Hey, going forward, we'll do that.
Redacted. Theo Redacted.
There
comments.
We go.
That's what we're going to say now.
We'll put Redacted in the podcast.
What else you got? You got Theo. You got Chris. Who else are you trying to fire?
No. I didn't mention Chris's last name, so there's that. He said Final Four. We're not beating Bama anytime soon. Mike Trahl. Mike T.
Wow.
T.
Mike, the Bobs are going to need to see you in the office right now. There's a pink slip that's waiting on you. Sir, you've had your chance. You've proven that you're not capable. Holster your microphone. I can't have you firing people like that on the show anymore. What I can get you to do is play the music, because it's time for one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Snake bitten. You're just joining us. LSU South Al postponed tonight on the diamond, and that means for the second time in less than a week, poor Eric Walker. He's just trying to get some mound time. The dude just wants to get back into a starting routine. Eric Walker feels more than a little bit snake bitten at this point. Yes, he's had some relief duty so far, but if he's going to get back into the weekend rotation, presumably to join Hess, to join Marceau, we'll see about Jaden Hill. Poor Eric Walker needs to get a start. Maybe, just maybe, that'll be bumped to tomorrow against Southern. But for now, snake bitten. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're halfway home ourselves. When we return, Shay Dixon. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We won't get you fired on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. Final hour of the show today on 103.7 The Game. And, of course, we are live from the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. LSU baseball postponed. They were supposed to take on the South Al Jaguars out of the Sun Belt Conference. Weather had other ideas. It's moved to April the 3rd. Eric Walker won't get that start tonight that he was in line for. UL baseball postponed as well. They were supposed to be at Matt Reiser's Southeastern Lions tonight. In Hammond, it's also moved back to April the 3rd. Brock Batty was named the starter for this one, so you're going to have to wait your turn. But you won't have to wait any longer to watch Gunnar Leger. Tony Robichaud confirming late yesterday that the senior will resume in his Friday slot against Maryland at the Teague this weekend. So no baseball in South Louisiana tonight, but you will have basketball. Let's start with what's happening right here on Acadiana Sports Station. Clint and I are taking you to 6 o'clock. And then it's Tiger Rag Radio, which, by the way, I'll be a guest there at 6:20 tonight. They'll bring you to 7:30. That's when you get the pregame show from Baton Rouge, LSU versus Texas A&M. Tip-off for the PMAC at 8 o'clock. And don't forget, on our sister station, The Rewind, it's going to be STM versus Thomas Jefferson playoff basketball. Danny Jones will have the call. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Oak Grove, Lake Charles. So there you have it. Moving pieces here, there, and just about everywhere. No baseball, but plenty of basketball. And, well, right about now, time for Shea Dixon to come on out. Time to talk some football.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
It's time for Shea Dixon of Go 247.
We brought him out, and now he's here. Shea Dixon, welcome back in, this time on a Tuesday. Great to have you, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me, as always. One of my my only routine spot that I do. So I'm still treating the Acadian area with my best.
And you know that it is appreciated. Let's get right into the world of LSU recruiting. What is exactly going on, Jay, in that world? Because I know they have had a junior day. It's already in the rear view. The next junior day, I believe, isn't until mid-March. So what's the state of affairs as they lead toward that next junior day?
Well, I mean, they couldn't be sitting any prettier, right? I mean, the number one class in the country, they have 11 commits already. So, you know, you go to 25, you're already into double digits. That's a good start with 10 months left until the early signing period. And we saw them host a massive junior day. I mean, right, that's what everybody does. You start to host your junior days, and they did their first one after signing day. And it was an elite junior day, so invite only. But they had probably 50 or 60 guys they were really looking at from current, you know, 2020 class to some of these underclassmen. But then it's rolled into really every weekend. They'll have visitors for sure, but during the week, a lot of these kids will, you know, go visit a few schools or, you know, kind of head around from state to state and check out schools. That's how they had Alec Bryant, who committed to them on a Monday visit after he came in from Texas. So it's sort of gone into this grind of, I know people say that, you know, pun intended, recruiting is 24/7, right? It's this new signing day has made that a matter of fact statement. I mean, it is a absolute grind for all 12 months of the year because now, Ben, with the new NCAA legislation, which I'm not going to be surprised in 5 years if we're talking about spring recruiting much differently, but they've opened the floodgates to where kids used to take official visits for either a football game during the season or you do it in December or January, you know, right after the season. Now they're letting kids take official visits all spring. So LSU will be hosting kids pretty much throughout the spring. And with, you know, the deadline of December coming for, what is it now, 21 and 20 around that signees each cycle for LSU in December, you can't really ever let up. And if a kid says, hey, I want to come down from Michigan and visit in April instead of waiting until the season, you're sort of handcuffed. And you say, okay, that's how we're going to be able to get him down. And by the time he waits the season, he might have already made a decision. So it's different than it's ever been before. And in year two now of this going on, I think that Ed Orgeron and them are deciding the best route is to just sort of go hard all the time.
Shea Dixon with us. We're talking recruiting on 103.7 The Game. And this is probably the question you get more than any other. Who's next to pop? But I'll put a little bit of a twist on it. Who's the next in-state player to pop in this 2020 class for LSU football?
Well, I think it could be a number of kids because they haven't offered a ton of them. A handful of them are already committed, but it's going to be a year where LSU, we've talked about this before, LSU is going to go outside the state more than they normally do just because the crop of really elite guys, and especially at some positions they really want to hit, kind of isn't where it normally is. So I think with that in mind, I won't be surprised if they pop a kid, you know, in the next month with spring practices and another junior day in March, all coming up. And I'll at least offer you a couple of options, quickly. I mean, a kid like Coy Moore at Rummel has had an LSU offer for a long time and he'll certainly be around campus a good bit. I think Jalen Lee, a defensive lineman at Live Oak, is a kid to keep an eye on who could be, you know, one of the next guys to take a number of visits and see what he wants to do. But I'll settle on this. I'll go up to Alexandria. I'll head to Ash, and I'll say Jacobian Guillory could be the next guy that pops because he's already set, massive defensive lineman, state and national powerlifting champ. He said that he wants to shut things down before his senior year, which would be next August. He's mentioned a summer, potential deadline, but I think he's the type who isn't about the fanfare. And Ben, we could see him maybe make a couple more visits, but I wouldn't be surprised if sort of at any time he just said, hey, I'm going to shut things down. And that's what LSU's hoping for, right? They've already got three pure D linemen committed, one edge rusher, but they want to find out a way to get the more help in the trenches.
One more for you, brother, and then we got to hit a break with a little bit of a surprise as well. We know that the 2019 class is in the barn, and there's only a couple of early enrollees, so we're, maybe a month and some change out until we get to spring football at the Ponderosa on LSU's campus. Who is the one early enrollee, if you had to pick one guy early on that you're really going to be monitoring?
Right. Well, there's a few of them. I think the top candidates you would go with are going to be either T.K. McClendon at tight end, because beyond Foster Moore, they've got Jamal Pettigrew back. He didn't play at all last year with a knee injury. Thaddeus Moss, he didn't play at all with an injury. They've had some other guys banged up in that tight end room. So we don't know really much about the tight end position. And McClendon, being a JUCO guy, he can make a splash. But I think the answer is probably Apu Aika, the high school senior, left Salt Lake City, Utah in December and moved in at LSU in January. And he committed to LSU late in the game and gave them what we knew was a big-time addition on the defensive line. We didn't know how big it would be in December because by February they didn't get a lot of the top D line that they were after. So I think he's more under a microscope than he was before. And then you toss in, Ed Alexander's gone as a starting nose guard. You've sort of gone through a song and dance with Tyler Shelvin each offseason about is he ready, is he not. And beyond that, you don't know what other true nose tackles you've really got, and he is that. So I think with some extended reps, some first reps, and then some extended ones at that, I think he could be a guy that really catapults his stock this spring.
Shay, we've had a lot of fun talking recruiting. I think we're about to have some on the other side of the break. And I'm going to set it up before we go ahead and bowl it down the lane and knock them all down. We're going to start every Tuesday getting into Shay's favorite tweets. And there's one reason, and one reason only, that came to mind for me.
You just switched from Nike to Reebok time.
My dude, you are nothing short of a savage. You just heard the juvenile. Please explain to the listeners why that's relevant. You tweeted something this week that was phenomenal.
Well, I hate that that's the only tweet that's ever made you think that, but I'll try harder. Look, when is someone tweeted about the Zion Williamson shoe exploding and said, here's a story on why he should have never been in Nikes in the first place, not this pair of Nikes specifically, the Paul Georges. So everyone's freaking out about that. I just simply quote tweeted, and the first thing that came to my mind when it said he shouldn't have been in Nikes was Juvenile, Ha, one of the best songs of our youth, and then the line, you done switch from Nike to Reeboks, Ha. And that jumped out to me. I almost thought, no one will really get this. But a lot of people showed love. So I guess there were a lot of Juvie fans out there. A lot of 400 Degrees album owners in the listener group.
And with that, it's getting a little hot here in the interview. Quick intermission. We'll be right back in. I don't know if we'll stumble across anything that's that certified gold, but we will be back flipping the script, Shay's favorite tweets, and more. You're listening to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
We're going to do things different.
Can we be just like we were? Just like we were.
We're going to do things different. We're gonna flip the script.
I flip the script.
It's time to flip the script with Shay Dixon on 103.7 The Game.
You know I'll flip.
Yes, I flipped the script. You know,
we're back, taking the baton from Ed and ready to run with it. Time to flip the script. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We'll bring back in Shea Dixon. Go247.com. And let's get to your favorite tweets of the week. We're starting a new tradition here. Start it off right, brother.
All right. Well, this week's addition for me, the addition to the new addition that we're doing, is definitely got to be LSU basketball centered. I hope that tonight at the PMAC somebody can top this. I doubt it will happen. But I saw a couple of tweets. One that I absolutely loved. I also retweeted this about a kid that was triple fist in beers in an Odell jersey outside the PMAC at like 8-something in the morning. All these students are in line, and like probably half of them are Catholic high, like, you know, seniors in high school. And these kids are all just drinking beer heavily, all of them double fisting, triple fisting. There was a kid in a 2004 Charlie Thompson jersey who was a walk-on back then. You don't have that jersey unless you own it or got it at, like someone in your family was Charlie Thompson or you got it at Goodwill. And someone replied that that was Charlie Thompson's little brother in the jersey, so that made sense. There were no Ben Boone jerseys spotted. I thought that would have really put it over the top. But to see what these kids were partying like at 8 a.m. for a basketball game, it really drove home that I thought that they were probably inebriated whenever I was at the game and just saw the students. I was like, those kids are way too hyped for 11 a.m. And then any other tweets that were my favorite from the week involved a guy and a girl that were in the student section sort of like dance-offing each other, but neither of them paying attention to the other one, and they were sort of one right in front of the other. If you saw the game or were at the game, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They were lit. I'll say this, Ben. I've never said anything. People hate all the time on the students leaving the football games. I'm like, I get it. They don't even show up and they leave. They brought it for the basketball game. I don't know if they can match that all the time, but boy, for one day in the PMAC, it was cool to see.
It sounds a little bit, and yeah, I've seen it. It kind of is almost like an in the stands version of Zoolander and Hansel with a little bit of a dance off, just, you know, with a basketball game going on.
That's a great answer. Yeah, I've seen it.
He's so hot right now. All right, enough of that. It's your show. After your tweets, what you got for me?
Well, look, we'll see if these guys don't start dancing for the folks at the combine this week, because LSU has a chance here, right, to go out and make some waves at the NFL combine. They've got six guys in it, and that kicks off what people care about. The workouts kick off on Friday, I believe it is. But you know Devin White and Greedy Williams, those are your first-round guys. John Battle, Nick Brissett, Foster Morrow, and Cole Tracy are your others. So you've got your top safety, you know, coming out, your running back, your tight end, and obviously your all-world kicker. So I'll ask you this. Who of the six guys going is the week the most important for? And granted, you've also got a pro day coming up back in Baton Rouge, but who really needs to turn in a good showing this week?
I think it's one of two players. If I'm giving you one of the two upper echelon guys, Shea, then it's got to be Devin White, because something tells me as a lead corner, a guy that's got the size, the reach, so many of the measurables, right, that obviously you're going to get from Greedy Williams, I think his spot is really just don't mess up where you are. For Devin White, he still is, I think, aided by last year's Roquan Smith and what he was able to do coming out of Georgia as a rookie for the Chicago Bears. But still, he's a tackling linebacker. He is not an edge rusher linebacker. I think that Devin White could still help himself and maybe separate from what would be a 10 to 15 range draft pick to 5 to 10. And so for Devin White, for that reason, I think it's big. But outside of that, I think it's Foster Morrow, because now he's got a chance to build on what was an incredibly productive Senior Bowl week and then Senior Bowl game. A lot of analysts, Shea, had Foster Morrow as one of the best players, highest risers, at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. And so if you could parlay that into interviewing well, which he will, I mean, the guy was a leader on LSU's team in the locker room the last couple of seasons, number 18, I think he'll kind of show why he was that guy. But if he could show that, you know what, I am more than just a run blocker, I have versatility in the pass-catching game, I think there's a chance Foster Morrow can really, really help himself. So those are the two I'm picking but Morrow's got a chance to build on the Senior Bowl. To me, that's big.
You actually, you jumped to one of my questions, so I'll ask it now, but I'll make you argue with yourself here. Who helps himself out the most with the interview? And you gave a reason why it might be number 18, you know, one of the leaders on the team. But do you think, I guess, is it him or is it Devin White, who I think, and LSU fans are so used to him, we hear Devin White all the time. You've interviewed him in person. You've spoken to him. We saw him come up as a recruit. But does he make a big impact, right, on teams who are seriously debating, hey, look, should we spend a top 15 pick, a top 10 pick, a top 20 pick? Where do we feel good about it when they meet with Devin White and kind of see in person the guy that has been Dave Aranda's right-hand man for two-plus years?
What's interesting about that question is the fact that Greedy didn't play in the bowl game and Devin did. And I think that's going to become more and more of a question for interviewers, for people that are paid by NFL teams to make these decisions. It's going to seep more into their questions, their methodology, and out of just, hey, it's a media, feeding frenzy. It's a media topic. So what's interesting is I think Devin White, to your point, is going to show himself as somebody that's extremely credible, that's bought all in. He'll reflect in person what he appeared to be as a team guy at LSU. Greedy will have to answer a question of, okay, you were not injured. Why didn't you play? Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's going to affect his draft stock that much at all. But they're going to want a little more buy-in from Greedy, I think, from that perspective. So being able to see it when it wasn't maybe evident because of decisions made in December, I think it could actually be important for Greedy, if that makes sense.
When you look at this group versus the one guy who's not there, right, that was an underclassman that left, Ed Alexander, does anyone not named Greedy or Devin have a chance to push themselves up past where, you know, people are thinking Ed Alexander might go, whether we'll see at his pro day, right, at LSU, but maybe a fourth, fifth round guy?
Well, the shame for Cole Tracy here is that he's a kicker and that people aren't doing what they once did for Sebastian Janikowski. After all, Al Davis isn't walking through that door anymore. So Cole Tracy might be the best at his position that's available, but he's not getting drafted that highly. It's just not what people do. Outside of that, I think the answer has to be either Battle or Morrow. And John Battle is going to have to answer a lot of injury questions. So for him, the physical is going to be paramount this week. But Morrow, for the reasons that I already kind of enumerated, I think he's got a chance to shoot up and maybe surpass Ed Alexander. So those would be my two. And there's really no offense meant to Nick Brissett, but if you are a bell cow back that's not spectacular as a pass catcher, a receiver out of the backfield, your chances of going in the top three or four rounds are just slim to none. So I don't like his chances of going in the first few days of this draft. Not to say he won't be drafted, but for those reasons, I don't like him as being somebody who could maybe outpace Ed Alexander, for example.
Well, I guess let's hear. Let's touch on that. We can even wrap it up there. Brissett, and you kind of said it. Look, are we thinking too much about what we knew about Nick Brissett over all the years of his college? And are we not thinking enough about, look, this guy's playing his best football right now. Does that translate to something? He had a really good senior year. He had a really good Senior Bowl, rushed for over 1,000 yards during the regular season. You know, where does Nick Brissett's stock ultimately fall if right now he's playing the best football maybe he's ever played?
And I'm just not sure that it matters because of the type of back that he is. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it. I'll be happy to admit it. He's not a good kid. He's a spectacular kid that's been through a lot. He was a program player. Maybe I've been too indoctrinated by the fact that LSU's three and done guys are legit. The ones that stay for a fourth because they want to can still be legit, but the ones that stay four because they have to, boy, it's just going to be difficult, especially if you play the running back position. So I've been spoiled by the Fournettes, the Geises, even the Wares of the world, the Ridleys of the world. I just don't think he stacks up to that pedigree. So this might not be the best process for him, the draft combine, the draft itself, but he's got a chance. Maybe a la Darrell Williams to stick after going to a camp as an undrafted free agent.
Here, let's wrap it up here, actually. You made me think of this. Is there some good feeling to take away for LSU fans from maybe listening to this segment and think, yeah, look, Devin White's all world. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to convince you not. And they've got two first-round guys and him and Greedy, you know, likely first-round guys. But we didn't even mention the DB who's going in John Battle. Nick Brissett is kind of the guy you've talked about. Is not your marquee normal LSU back. Tight end who's sort of really emerged late in his college career, just become, you know, a high, you know, an NFL type tight end prospect. And then a kicker who obviously made a massive difference, but as you said, not for the NFL draft. Is there some hope to take away that, hey, look, a crop that's really not that deep for a team that just finished inside the top five or six is probably a good thing, meaning that a lot of the guys that made the team click are back on that roster right now?
Well, yeah, and the main reason is because of the juniors, right? I mean, in years past, LSU in this situation could have and maybe would have easily lost Rashard Lawrence, Braden Fajoco, Christian Fulton, right? So we can
Divinity.
Yes, exactly, Michael Divinity. So the hope for next year is not just that talented youngsters like John Emery and Derek Stingley are coming aboard. The hope's not just that LSU has a quarterback and OC coming back as a tandem for the first time in at least 8 to 10 years. It's all of those things plus the talented juniors that are staying to become seniors. Add all those things up. That's why there's hope. And I think there's a great chance for a season that gets to and through Atlanta. So, again, you got to topple Bama. We'll leave that for November. Here we are. It's not even March, but there should be hope.
I love it, Ben. I'm ready for it. It's about to be March, and football will be back in the air.
Shay, we appreciate you. Tweets of the week. It'll be a new thing. Thank you, brother.
Okay, I'll start logging in. I'll pay attention.
It took 2.5 years of a regular segment. I don't know, maybe even three in this new feature. Now he's going to pay attention. Our appreciation to Shay. Got to hit a break. We'll be right back. Half an hour to go. Let's take your phone calls. Let's throw some shade. Let's get home on this Tuesday and a little closer to Wednesday. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I think the radio gods wanted to rattle the cage a little bit there. Make sure the snooze alarm wasn't on. Yeah, I'll tell you about it, and we'll keep having some fun. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And if you've ever been on the phone with somebody, didn't know that the signal was lost in the other line, and you just kept talking, now you know how me and Shay feel. That happened to us moments ago, so ran out of real estate there. But Shay sends his best, and he thanks you for listening. He says if you want to respond, yell at Ben. He advises you do so. 706-0111. We got a little less than a half hour to go. And another reminder, because I got a text during the interview with Shay. Hey, thanks for telling us that STM, they're playing basketball tonight on one of your other stations. And thanks for telling us it's the Rewind. But exactly what time is that game between the Cougars and Thomas Jefferson? Thank you, anonymous texter. Now let me remind everybody, coming up in about 10 minutes at 5:45, Danny Jones, Stephen Stroney, we'll have the pregame show. Tip-off from the Cougar Dome is expected at 6 o'clock. And that's going to be St. Thomas More, Thomas Jefferson, second-round playoff game in Select Division II for the right to move on to the quarterfinals. So the Cougars, Danny Broussard, 2 wins away from going back to the top 28. Again, 5:45 pregame show, 6 o'clock tip-off tonight. It's on the Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. And if it's all right with you, I'll stop leaving messes for everybody to clean up. But what I will do is remind you, it's your daily reminder, and it's a PSA locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com, check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top down, starting with Mark, to help you create visions and then fulfill them. You can also trust their professional installers to take care inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center.
Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
This might be a first. Stephen A. Smith is front and center for a little shade, but he's not the recipient. In fact, earlier this morning, as he did his carnival barking thing, he was the one throwing the shade. I'll report what he said, and then I'll go in a little bit here. Stephen A. Smith said earlier today that LeBron James is the biggest problem with the Lakers. He also said that everybody needs to stop calling LeBron the best player in the world. Now, he's stating what are his opinions. Of course, he also said Hunter Henry was going to be one of the biggest factors in a Chargers game about 3 or 4 weeks before he was even off of whatever we're allowed to call it in PC terms this year. It's not disabled list, but the IR. There it is. So, yeah, that guy, Stephen A. Smith, for him to say that LeBron's not currently the best player in the world, you know what? I'll entertain that, even if I don't agree with the way that Giannis Greek Freak is playing. Yeah, maybe he's not the best player right now. I can at least entertain that. But him saying that LeBron is the biggest problem with the Lakers, I feel like might be a little short-sighted, that shade that Steven's throwing. Why? Let me tell you. LeBron might be the biggest problem with this year's edition of the Lakers as we know them. But let's keep it real. It was always meant to be temporary. This group, these pieces, they were always meant to be a part of a revolving door that eventually got the Kang, the pawns he needed, to go out and win another championship or two in La La Land. It was never going to be about growing with these baby Lakers. If you thought that, you don't know LeBron, and you haven't been watching lately. This is what happened in Cleveland, with the exception of the fact that Kyrie was already in tow, and they brought over Kevin Love immediately. In Los Angeles, the promise was that Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, were going to be able to attract big-name free agents to come play with him. And even though the AD thing has left a bad taste in everyone, at least in this part of the country and the state, it's left a bad taste in our mouths, I feel pretty confident that Irvin is still going to get that big-time talent to go play with LeBron. Some of it may come this offseason. Others, potentially, like Anthony Davis, may come after the 2019-2020 season. But they'll still come when LeBron is living and breathing as one of the top 5 to 10 players in the NBA. Still very capable of putting a team on his back and getting to and maybe even through another NBA Finals. And so I feel like Stephen A., well, I'm not sure at this point whether he misses the point or he doesn't care what the point is. LeBron being the biggest issue with this Lakers team, saying that if you don't want to come and suit up, because LeBron basically gave another soundbite last night, saying that, you know what, if you don't think you can get it done, just come and tell us that. He wants to jettison the pieces that aren't going to help him win a championship. I'm not telling you it's right. I'm just telling you it's the LeBron way. Stephen A., you're either not paying attention or you don't care. Yeah, he's the biggest problem with this edition of the Lakers, but this edition isn't the reason that LeBron went west.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
You see how the worm turned a little bit there, right? I said Stephen A. wasn't the recipient, and by the end of it, he was. It's just a suit he wears too well. Might as well dress him in it. All right, we're going to take the final break of today's show. When we return, got some more time for your phone calls. We continue to get great Facebook response, at least one remark as well, about how Clint actually didn't get somebody fired. And that's good news here on a Tuesday. But you can give us your take. The event that would make you happier, LSU football beating Bama, or LSU basketball making it to and maybe even through the Final Four. We'll get more when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, getting you to 6 o'clock and Tiger Rag Radio on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah. Let's go, baby!
This is
weekdays at Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
What would you say you do here?
Hopefully you don't have a meeting with the Bobs. Hopefully that's not what you have to do here. Little inside joke, but we shall revisit Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Clint and I made a hard and fast rule about 2 weeks ago. No more saying last names when we give Facebook responses to the Sink or Swim question of the day. You hit the audience with Theo, redacted.
Yeah, name redacted.
And Theo has responded thusly on Facebook.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, thanks, Clint. The Bobs just brought me in and fired me. All your fault, JK.
What would you say it is you do here? Yeah. Hopefully, we're giving you the best sports talk that you need on your way home. If you are just joining us, LSU South Al, baseball from the box, postponed. Eric Walker, second straight midweek start that he will miss now due to weather. That Tigers-Jaguars game has been relocated to April the 3rd. No UL at Southeastern tonight either. Brock Batty was supposed to take the mound for the Cajuns tonight. That, too, has been postponed and moved to April the 3rd. Popular midweek game coming up here in about a month and a week. And also on the Cajun side, Gunnar Leje confirmed to get back into the rotation and start this Friday at home versus Maryland. That late yesterday from Tony Robichaux, and they called his missed start at Sam Houston State something that was needed due to inflammation. But I want to wrap up today's program talking LSU basketball. And we got time for you to join in on the fun. Only two calls today. A little light for Tuesday. I know, it's not football season. Just dust yourself off and let's talk a little basketball. 706-0111. LSU comes in tied for tops in the SEC. Texas A&M comes in bottom half of the table but improving. The Aggies, overall, 12-14 under Billy Kennedy. They are 5-9 in league play. And about 3 weeks ago, it was much worse. 3 weeks ago, they were 1-8 in league play. So, yes, they've won 4 of 5. Yes, they pulled off a big win at Arkansas on Saturday, 87-80. And there are a few themes that I'll take away from that win and the streak that they've been on here. The Aggies have got arguably their best big back, namely, let me back that up. They've gotten their best guard back, and that's going to be sophomore Savion Flagg. He was the SEC Player of the Week last week. In the last three games, he's averaged more than 21 points, 8 rebounds a game. So Flagg, who I don't think played the first time around against the Tigers in College Station, he's returned. They've also got a junior guard, Wendell Mitchell, who's averaging 20 points a game in the last three. He had 20 at Arkansas on Saturday. So my point is, this is a team that's got some offensive firepower. This is a team that likes to play up and down. LSU is in a position after back-to-back OT thrillers. One they lost to Florida at home. One they won Tennessee at home. And yeah, they won the better one of those two to get. But I have to imagine at some point this LSU team might start to run out of some emotional gas, if you will. I think right now it's possible that they're running on some fumes, wouldn't you say? These games that continue to come down to the wire, they did it without Tremont Waters on Saturday. No official word from the PMAC yet. 8 p.m. tip tonight, 7:30 is the pregame show, and no official word yet if the sensational sophomore point guard will be back or not. If I were a betting man, I would say he's not playing tonight. Just a feeling I get. And while many were reading into the undisclosed illness tag that Wade dropped on Waters postgame Saturday, many read into that saying, oh, this is punishment, or oh, this is some kind of retaliation for a late game whatever against Florida. I never really saw it that way. I'm more inclined to believe that this is not an undisclosed illness as much as an undisclosed injury, and that Trey might not quite be right yet, and that they need to sit him down for a little bit to make sure he's right for the SEC and especially the NCAA tournament. And so if I were a betting man, again, I don't think that Trey is going to play tonight. That's not inside information. It's more of a hunch. But if I were a betting man, I also wouldn't take LSU side of the line tonight. And this is kind of what I've been leading into. This surprised me a little bit, CD. The odds makers have LSU installed as about an 11.5, 12-point favorite tonight. And if you were just going off of the eyeball test, the number 13 team in the country, a team that's below 500 overall, you might jump to the same conclusion. Not me. And I know that LSU beat this team by 15 last time around in College Station. Waters played in that game. Savion Flagg for A&M did not. I think those roles will be reversed. I think LSU, as I mentioned, I like their chances of getting another hard-fought win tonight, but I do think that there's a decent chance that it is just that, hard-fought. I don't think that the Tigers are going to stomp a mud hole in Texas A&M. So that 11.5-12 line, here's betting that it's a little bit closer than that, and that LSU is in the midst of what has the makings of a trap game, but I'm going to predict right now that they find a way to survive. Now, they are going to take on a team that, again, of late, they've been scoring at a good clip. Typically, when LSU faces those kind of teams, they can run with them, they can run past them. So maybe it's a godsend that you're not taking on a Florida, a Georgia, or any kind of top-tier defensive team, even a Kentucky, in the SEC. LSU's going to face a team in the Aggies that has great guard play, can score it, but defensively they're a bit of a sieve. So another opportunity, potentially, for Javonte Smart to take over. Certainly the Tigers need Naz Reid to play bigger than the 1 point that he put on the scoreboard on Saturday. But the Tigers right now, 22-5 overall, 12-2 in the SEC. And some of the latest bracketology has them as a 3 seed in the Jacksonville regional. And that's an area that's been kind to LSU. They've advanced from that regional before. Think local product, Daryl Mitchell, hitting a late three against Texas A&M down there to do their thing. So, yeah, that wouldn't be a surprise. And it would be welcome territory if LSU ended up in Jacksonville. But I think it's a little bit of who they would play that would be interesting. According to CBS, they'd be the 3 seed in the East bracket in Jacksonville. They would take on number 4, Montana, early on. The potentially really entertaining part there is they would match up with either Virginia Tech or Temple in a second-round matchup. Ultimately, that region would go through Washington, D.C. Andy Katz for the Mothership put out his own bracket. He also has the Tigers going to Jacksonville. But he's got him as a 4 seed playing number 13, Lipscomb. So LSU's trajectory, their arc as they're getting closer to the big dance, it's going to take some twists and turns, unless, of course, they keep winning. And then it's going to stay, with an arrow straight pointed up. Big program today. A couple of great guests, and I want to thank both of them. In case you missed them, highly encourage that you check it out on demand. Cody Worsham, LSU Sports Digital Media Reporter, was with us in the 4 o'clock hour. Not only was he fantastic, but the high irony, at least to me, Cody's been in the editor of Tiger Rag magazine. Yours truly has been the editor of Tiger Rag. And then as soon as I'm done here, in about a minute and a half, Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, Tyler Nunez will take over, and I'll be a guest on their program at 6:20. The Bible of LSU Sports. It's kind of like the Hotel California. You can check in, but your ass stays there in some capacity or the other. We also had Shea Dixon today. LSU recruiting heavy in our first segment. In the second segment, we debuted a little fun that we plan to have on Tuesdays moving forward. Shea's favorite tweets of the week. And just about all of them involved LSU basketball and the fun that was being had by the student section, by the fans, before the game. Sure, a little pregame libation. 8 a.m, why not? And then inside the game with a lot of dancing in the house that Pete built. So, again, our thanks to Cody Worsham and Shea Dixon. Don't forget, we'll be with you tomorrow beginning at 4 o'clock. Brian Snow will join the program to talk college basketball, and we'll start to look at the NFL scouting combine. And then, on the road again, Thursday and Friday, the Taproom River Ranch on Thursday. And, boy, am I excited. Our first ever remote B2BS takes over Ruffino's on the River. We're going to be set up in the bar area. Ruff and Rodriguez. will be adjacent with me. You'll be able to come and meet him, have some fun, come have a drink. Trev Falk's going to join us. Live interview at 4:30. And as the week goes on, I'll give you some of our other special guests that have already confirmed for that special program. On the other side of this, as I mentioned, Tiger Rag Radio 6 until 7:30 tonight. And then it's LSU versus Texas A&M. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off. For the famous Clint D., my name is Ben Love. Have a great Tuesday night. You've been listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.